Abishag the Shunammite, and as Solomon wrote this, it was a love story that he wrote before things kind of went the wrong way in his life. Solomon was a man that had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And the thing that Solomon was never able to find was true love. And yet true love was right in front of him. And it was the one that he writes about in Song of Solomon. It was Abishag the Shunammite. And because of the world and because of the way things go, he missed out on what love really is. And this morning, I'm going to preach out of Song of Solomon chapter 8, verses 5 to 7. And Solomon made some statements about love, though he didn't apply them to his own life. If you'll notice what it says, if you found Song of Solomon, say amen, I know you're there. Amen. If you look there in verse number 5, it says, "Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I raised thee up under the apple tree, and there my mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth, so that bare thee. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm, for love is as strong as death, and jealousy is cruel as the grave, and the coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, and neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all his substance of his house for love, it would be utterly condemned and contemned." And then verse 7 is where we take our sex, where it says, "Many waters cannot quench love, and neither can floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly contemned." We'll preach on this spot this morning, the price of love. You know, when you think about love and you think about the value of love, worth, we know that it's more than silver, it's more than gold, it's more than rubies, it's more valuable than diamonds, and it's more valuable than pearls. There was a worldly song, the Beatles put it out, "Money Can't Buy Me Love," and boy, that is a fact. Something, love is just something that money can't buy. And thank God. And Solomon, he would know because he was the richest man that ever lived upon the face of the earth or will ever live upon the face of the earth. No one was more wealthy than Solomon in this world. And God made it that way. God told Solomon because of his love for God. He says, because when he said, you didn't ask for, when he asked him, you have anything you want, he chose to walk with God and to have God's knowledge. And God gave him what he didn't ask for. He gave him riches, and he gave him the wealth, and he gave him the life of his enemies, and he gave him the kingdom. And he said, hey, and if you serve me, I'll give you a long life. And no doubt, God had blessed Solomon's life. But Solomon, through his life, couldn't seem to find the one thing that makes life so important. And that's love. That's love. And that's why he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. He confused, as so many do, lust for love. Lust doesn't satisfy, but love does. And in the end of Solomon's life, even as he had the problem in relationships with women, he had the same problem with God Almighty, because in the end of his life, he turned away from God and began to worship all the idols that were in the world. And God did not give him a long life. God did bring his life to an end and to a close. And Solomon could have been one of the longest men that ever lived. And God could have increased him had he chosen to love the Lord thy God with all his heart and his soul and his mind. But Solomon failed in that. He did. Because though he knew the value of love, he somehow lost along the way its worth and what love really was. Can I say this morning? Is that just in a way of introduction still? Let me say that it not only is the value and its worth, but it's the vehicle to well-being. You know, that to have a well-balanced life and to be satisfied in life, you know what you have to have? You have to have experienced love. A man said this, "Love is a second life." That's true. Love is a second life. If you have love, that's the greatest thing in this world that you can possibly experience. He said, "Love lightens labor and sweetens sorrow. And man is only as good as what he loves." Can you imagine if you love silver and gold, you don't have much worth in your life. That's a fact. Because, you know, you can't eat silver and gold. Remember the story of King Midas? He said, "Oh, if I could, Lord, just give me the Midas touch. Let everything I touch turn to gold," until he touched his daughter, the very thing that he loved, and she became gold. And then he cursed the day that he placed so much value upon inanimate things. when the real value is in people. And in, it was in his daughter, and what a sad thing. A man once said this, there is no wealth but love. We are all born of love. It is the principal existence and its only end. Love is the only sane and satisfactory answer to the problem of human existence. Amen. I can say amen to that. Love is the door to eternity. Boy, there's some truth there. The value of love, its worth, the vehicle to well-being. You think about the vulnerability of love. You see, to experience love, you have to be willing to give love and take the chance of not being loved in return. That's the vulnerability of love. Loving someone who might not love you back. Loving someone who might break your heart. Loving someone who may not return the affection. I remember as a boys, you know, boys got to ask girls out for a date. And my goodness, it's hard to ask a girl out on a date. Because you know you're going to ask this. Boys are just something else. They're always swinging for the fence. You know, they'll pick the prettiest girl that there possibly is, and they'll say, well, I can win her affections. And, you know, and you know, the boy can be just as ugly as he can be, but he'll find the prettiest girl there is and say, will you go on a date with me? And, of course, you'll say, sorry, you ain't got a chance, right? And boys have to put themselves out there, right? And it's a difficult thing. It's hard to be told no. It's hard to be said, no, not a chance. You can forget it. You know, but that's the vulnerability of love. That's the chance you have to take. To have love, you have to be willing to love. And you have to put your emotions out there. And thank God, that is what Jesus Christ did for us, is it not? And we'll preach in a minute, but He put His love, gave His love to a sin-cursed, dying world that cared nothing for Him, but He gave all that He had to the human race. That's the love of God. So this morning, the love of God. So let's pray. And I'm going to preach on this thought of the price of love. Father, I thank You for the Word this morning. And no doubt we have people here this morning, they're probably hurting deep on the inside. No doubt about that. No doubt there's, Lord, relationships, Lord, difficulty, Lord, between husband and wives, between children and parents, between siblings. No doubt these situations arise, and they do arise. And God, there's pain that people feel inside them this morning. And God, as we think of this thing of love and how important it is. And Lord, God, I'm so thankful this morning that You created love. I'm so thankful this morning that You placed a premium upon love. And God, as we preach this morning, may we understand what love is. And may our hearts be stirred. May our hearts be blessed. May the love of God well up on our hearts, God, as never before. Bless the Word, I pray, and God, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning as we look at the price of love and the value of love and what it is, can I say this morning, why is love so valuable? Why is it so valuable? Why is it that so much is placed upon this thought, this little four-letter word called love? Well, I believe that it's what it is and why it is because it's unmerited in its origin. You know, where does love come from this morning? We know where love comes from. Take your Bible and turn to 1 John chapter number 4. God, love comes from God. God is the author of love. There's no doubt about that. And that's why so many people have, there's so much difficulty in the world today, because when you turn away from God, what do you turn away from? You turn away from love and the author of love. Where love comes from, it's God. Love comes from God. He is the one that made it. You think about that in 1 John 4, look what it says in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You know why so many people get in trouble today? Because they turn away from God. And when they turn away from God, what happens? They turn away from the people they love. That's a fact. And that's why so many people, that's why there's so many problems in life today, because You know, love comes from God. He's the author of love. He's the originator of love. He's the creator of love. And you cannot have love unless you recognize who that it's coming from. Notice that it goes on to say, "And this was manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son of the world, that we might live through Him." Here is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also... excuse me, to love one another. Amen. You think about the love of God and the love that God has. You know, when Adam and Eve had sinned against God, and they had done the one thing God asked them not to do, and that was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and yet they did it anyway. There they are in the garden. They're in the image of God. They have the Shekinah glory of God. And they've sinned against God Almighty, and now they're hiding in the bushes, and God comes walking along. Did God know that they had sinned? Of course God knew that they had sinned. God knows everything. God knows what they have done, and where they had done it, and what had happened to them. But because of God's love, He still came looking for them. In Genesis 3, where He cried out, "Adam, Adam, where art thou, Adam?" Because that's the love of Almighty God that comes looking for you, even though you've done the wrong thing. I think about the love of God in Genesis 22 when Abraham had taken Isaac up to sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. And as he stretched forth the knife and God saw the genuineness of the love that Abraham had towards God, that he would not withhold anything from God Almighty. And as he stretched forth the knife, God called, "Abraham, Abraham!" And he said he saw the ram that was caught in the thicket. Hallelujah. And there was the sacrifice, the love of God. The love that caused Him to come to earth 2,000 years ago. Can I tell you, that's the love of God. That's the love of God. That's what He said here in the passage, that love was manifested towards us in verse number 9, because God sent His only begotten Son of the world that we might live through Him. The love of an Almighty God. The love of God that condemned Him to the cross of Calvary. When everybody, when they had taken Him to the place called Calvary and they crucified Him, the first words out of His mouth were words of love when He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, real love offers forgiveness no matter what a person's done. See, that's the power of love. That is an amazing thing. And that's why it's unmerited in its origin. It comes from God. It's commended by God. You say, what does it mean to be commended by God? It's praised and it's venerated. It's lifted up by God Almighty. His love is. In Romans chapter number 5, and I can quote these verses, but we'll look over there. It says, "For in due time, when we were yet strength, without strength, Christ died for the ungodly." It says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." You know, it's amazing. Jesus knew what we were, and yet He died for us anyway. Isn't that amazing? I mean, really, would you really give your life for somebody? And would you really give your life for somebody who was rotten to the core? Would you do that? I mean, say you went down to buy a car at the dealership, and you looked up this car and you saw online that it was a bona fide lemmy. Look at the Carfax. Man, this thing's been in a flood. It's a flood car. This car's had 29 recalls on it. It's been repaired over and over and over again, and there it sits. Would you go and buy that car? Well, you said, "There's no way I'm going to give my money for that car. Look at that. That's a piece of junk. That is absolutely worthless." But you know, that's what Jesus Christ did for you and I. He came down from heaven to redeem sinful man who was absolutely worthless. What value could we possibly have to God Almighty? What do we bring to the table? people in business ask, "What are you going to bring to the table? What do you bring to the table for Jesus Christ?" Well, if we were all honest this morning, we'd have to say, we don't bring nothing to the table. There's nothing I can give to God. What could you give to God that He could possibly want from you that would have value to Him? The truth of the matter is absolutely nothing. But yet God places value upon us. It's God that places a value upon us. It's God that places a value on your eternal soul. It's God that places value on your life. And it's God that loves us. He loves us. The truth is, He loves us more than we could ever love Him. Isn't that an amazing thing?
Amen.
It's kind of like parents. Parents love their children more than their children love them.
Amen.
That's the truth. That's an absolute truth. And again, you say, why is that? Because parents were the one that brought forth the child. The child didn't bring forth the parents, right? The parents brought forth the child. So the parents love the children more than the children love them. And that's why when children grow up and they have their own life, that parents don't have the importance to them that the parents have for the children. Children may not want to see their parents, but parents want to see their children. You say, why is that? Because parents love them more. It's funny. Parents even love their grandchildren more than the parents love their children. That's true. That is true. You say, how you know that? Look how grandparents act around the grandchildren. They let them do anything. We'd have beat the kids to death for that. But man, the grandkids can come and do it. It's all good. You know? The grandkids can do anything, right? Isn't that amazing? Love is that way. Well, that's how the love of God is. I think many times love is like a mother's love. A mother can love when no one else does. You know, a mother's holding that baby, she loves that baby, and I'm thinking, how can she love that little thing there? You know? The dirty diaper, the stink, the mess, the net. Oh, my gosh, you know, it's like... But that's a mother's love. A mother can be butt ugly, and the mother will say, isn't he so pretty? Isn't he so handsome? Isn't she so beautiful? And I'm thinking, are we looking at the same baby here? I'm not seeing it. I'm just not seeing it. Right? But she carried the baby. That baby is a part of her. And a mother's love is like that. A mother will say, well, he's a good boy. No, he's a stinking brat. He's no good. He's worthless. But mom will say, oh, that's my little boy. I said, what is wrong with you, lady? But you know what? That's the love that God has for you and I this morning. I can see the devil saying, hey, why do you give them people that, why do you give them one, God, why do you give them the time of day? Look at them. They're worthless. They're horrible. They hate you. The accuser of the brethren, right? And God says, hey, that's my creation. I love them. I made them for me. I love them with an everlasting love. Thank God for the love of God. Thank God. You think about the unmerited in its origin. How it was comes from God. It was commanded by God. It's commanded by God. You think about the love that God commands. You know, God commands us to love Him. The great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. In John chapter 13, we're commanded to love each other. In John 13, this is what he says in verse number 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. You think about what's wrong in Christianity today, that I think what's missing in Christianity, what's missing in the church, what's missing in the fellowship, what's missing? Hey, what's missing is that abiding love that God has commanded us to have one for another. A command to love the Lord and each other and the lost. To love those that are undone without Jesus Christ. Jesus always went about doing good. And who did He do it to? To all men. To all men. You know, that's what makes Christianity different from everything else. It's because Christians are commanded to love all men. Just like the love of God. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Hallelujah for that. It's unmerited in its origin. Can I say this morning? I think it's universal in its occurrence. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the what? World. The world. God does love the world, folks. He does love all the people of the world. And thank God that He does. James, John 3:17 says, I just lost my thought here. Let me turn over there real quick. But this is what it says, John 3:17. He said this, for God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Galatians 4 says this, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem them from the curse of the law. Thank God, Christ came at just the right time to give His love to a sin-cursed world, to all the world. John 1 and verse number 10, this is what Jesus said. Let me get the verse here. It says, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And He came into His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on His name. You think about the love of God that He had for the world. It's universal. That love that He has for all men. Thank God He said, whosoever will. I'm glad that whosoever will included me when it came to the love of God. Verse 18 in John 3 says this, He that believeth on His not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's whosoever will come. That's why Jesus said in John 11, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Thank God we can come unto Jesus Christ. Thank God, it, regardless of color and creed and cap or credentials, we can come to Christ. I'm glad. Now, I know we live in a day of controversy, do we not? Donald Trump, extreme vetting. Aren't you glad God doesn't use extreme vetting? Because He had vetted me, I wouldn't have got in. Hallelujah. I couldn't have got in because I was a sinner, lost, going to hell, deserved to go to hell. And God brought salvation. Amen. You see, God's love is for everybody, and thank God that it is. Sometimes people think, well, He's past the love of God. You haven't gone past the love of God, friend. You cannot go past the love of God because the love of God goes further than you could possibly imagine. Amen. The love of God got there long before you did. It'll be here long after you're gone. The love of God is going to be there, and thank God that it is. You think about that. The love of God that God has for a sinner. Luke 5:32, the Bible says that Christ came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. And Luke 15 and verse number 7, that Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner repenteth more than 99 just persons that need no repentance. You say, what is that? Hey, hallelujah, that is the universal love of God. That God's love is there, and even if you don't want it, God's love is still there. You ever love someone who didn't love you? Wow, my goodness. Everybody's done that, right? You ever like someone who didn't like you? One time when I was in third grade, there were 15 girls in our class, and I wrote down all their names, and I put them in order that I liked them, from 1 to 15. And I read all 15 of them in the class out loud. Because I wanted, you say what? I liked all the girls. That's all there was to it. I liked them all, right? But you know what? Hey, God loves us all. And God's love is for everyone. Even those that are on the what we call the fringe of God's love. People say, tell me all the time, I'm just not worthy to come into. There's nobody worthy to come into the house of God. There's no one who deserves to be here. The moment you think you deserve to be here, you're worthy, you've missed the love of God completely. The love of God is an unconditional love that God offers to those, hey, who are undeserving of His love. And so many times we forget that in our relationships. We forget as we go through life. And it gets tangled up and lost in the way. Can I say this morning? We think about the price of love and where it comes from. You know, it's unknown. It's unknown in its outlook. You know, most people don't even understand the ideal and the concept of what love really is. And the more goofed up our society becomes, the less people seem to understand it. One time a lady came to me in Trinidad, and she was upset. Her husband was seeing another woman, and she was upset. And she came and cried and talked to her for a while. And the longer I talked to her, I realized what she was upset about. She really wasn't upset that her husband was seeing another lady. What she was upset about is that her husband had given a gold chain to her and didn't give one to her. And the longer we talked, I said, we're talking. Lisa's sitting there listening to that. She says, am I getting something wrong here, or is she just upset because she didn't get a gold necklace? And I said, that's exactly what she's upset about. She didn't get a gold necklace. She didn't care that her husband was out doing his thing. She just cared that she didn't get a gold necklace. And I thought to myself, is that what love is? I mean, is that what it is? The things that somebody gives you, or what they buy for you, or what they did for you, is that what love is? That is not what love is. And we get confused when it comes to love. You can have nothing and have great love in your life. And you can have everything and not begin to understand what love is. Hey, Donald Trump's a billionaire, but look how many times he's been married. And look how unsatisfied he's been in his life, because money don't buy you love. Amen. Money don't buy you love. And these things, it's sad when it comes to this kind of thing, but it's unknown. It's unknown in its outlook. And look in Ephesians 3 and in verse number 17. This is what Paul said, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and the know the love of Christ that passeth knowledge, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, love is deeper than the ocean, higher than the mountain, than the horizon. And can you begin to understand the love of God? The Bible says it passeth knowledge. Sometimes in my little mind, I can't understand how God could love 7 billion people and love them all the same. But He does. That's the love of... it passes my knowledge. It passes my understanding. And when I know, when I look at my own life and look at myself and think, how could God possibly love somebody like me? And yet He does. And yet He whispers in my ear and says, I love you. And I think to myself, how could He do that? It's past understanding. I think about the peace that God gives us in our hearts this morning. You know, I talk to people and they have all trouble understanding when you tell them about the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's what it says, Philippians 4:7, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And they can't seem to understand what you're talking about. Hey, what is that thing that gives you peace when others have no peace? We were reading a story in that book in Cannibal Valley. And my goodness, we read this, or reading that to the boys the other night, and I just broke down crying and weeping as I was reading the book. And I thought to myself, man, the love and the peace that God gives. Was reading the story about Don and his wife and how they were in the dugout canoe and they were zipping through the water with the outboard, and that thing flipped over in the crocodile infested Kronkel River. And when it turned over, he had his wife's sister with him, and he had his 18-month-old baby, and he had a three-week-old baby in his wife's arms. And when that thing turned over in the crocodile-infested river, the boat went under, it capsized, and they all went under the water, and he sprung up, and the Sawi man from the tribe of New Guinea, he popped up out of the water, but his wife and two children were still underneath the water. At that moment, he began to pray and said, God, he said, Lord, please help us. And he said, at that moment, the peace of God flooded his soul. And he said, God, please take care of this situation. Oh, God, please help us at this moment. And about that time, he could see his wife pushing the 3-month-old baby up out of the water. And the baby had not breathed in the water. And the baby popped up and he grabbed his wife and he put him by the canoe. And then her sister came up out of the water. But then he thought, oh, God, what about my 18-month-old year son? What about him? He said, oh, God, I need your help. Give me peace. Give me grace. Help me, Father. He thought surely his son had drowned that day in the Kronkel River. And as he scanned, the man who stood on top of the New Guinea sawweed headhunter who stood on top of the dugout canoe, said, there he is. They called him the Toons. He said, there he is. He's right there. And he reached down, and sure enough, he's feeling around, and his 18-month-old baby pulled him out of the water. But God had said, whispered in his ear, he said, don't worry, I have it all under control. And he pulled the baby up. And he thought, surely he's drowned. Surely he's dead. But as he pulled the baby up, the baby smiled and took a gasp of air. And he had not even taken one little drink of water. And minutes had passed. You say, what? That's the peace of God. That's the power of God. And it passes all understanding. How could you go and be a missionary in a jungle and have little babies there and with the threat of what's taking place, with the malaria, with the disease, and not only that, had he rescued him from the river, but now what to do? He said, Lord, He said, now what to do? He said, because we can no way make it to shore, surely the crocodiles will eat us. Again, this is New Guinea. Crocodile-infested rivers. Man-eating crocodiles. And he began to pray, and the Lord said, whisper in his ear. He said, peace be still. Peace be still. He said, I have it under control. Peace be still. He said, at that moment he looked at his wife Carol, and the peace of God welled up in their hearts. And about that moment, another canoe came into sight. God had sent another canoe to rescue them, unbeknownst even to them. You say, what is that? That's the peace of God that passes all understanding. You say, what do you do when you have problems? You put your problems in God's hands. Because God's, let me tell you something, God's love is greater than your problems. And God is able to solve all the problems that we have. Amen. God is able. In my little heart, I can't understand it. In my little mind, I can't fathom it. But let me tell you, God has done some things. And He does some things. He does it in our hearts. And He does it in our minds. You think about the place that God's prepared for us in heaven one day. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions, were not so I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, that's the place that hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither into the heart of man, of things that God prepared for them that love Him. You see, it's unknown. We can't begin to understand what God has prepared for us. But I'll tell you what, when we get there, hallelujah, what a day that's going to be. Amen. You say, what is it going to be? It's going to be, we're going to meet the loving arms of Jesus one day. What does Jesus say to those who follow Him when they leave this world and go into the next? He said, well done thou, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. You ever seen a child run into the arms of their parent when they've been separated? Isn't that an amazing thing? That's an amazing thing. But it's an unknown. And can I say this? It's unending in its observance. You know, love and relationships end upon this earth. But I'll tell you what, they never end when it comes to God. If you'll look with me in Romans chapter number 8 this morning, Romans 8:35, and this is the promise of God, and this is what's so great about God's love. God's love is inexhaustible. It's indescribable, and God's love is inseparable. If you look in Romans 8:35, and it says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Jeremiah said this, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I think about that everlasting love of God. No matter what happens in this life, God's always going to love me. You say, what if I don't love God? He's going to love you back anyway. You may be sitting here and you have no love for God, but God has a love for you. That's the love of Almighty God. That's the love of Almighty God. A man said, he was 90 years old and he was dying. And the preacher just wanted to ask him a little question. And the pastor asked him, to me it's a dumb question, but nonetheless, the preacher asked it. And he said, brother, do you still love God? You're 90 years old. Do you still love God? The man said, his face lit up with a smile. And he simply said this. Oh, I can tell you something better than that. He still loves me. Hallelujah. You know, I've seen a lot of people have lost their love for God. And that's true. What did Jesus tell the church in Revelation there? He said, you've left your first love. And people fall in and out of love with each other. And they fall in and out of love with God Almighty. But God never falls out of love with anybody. God's love is greater. You see, and it's God's love that makes the world go round. That's a fact. In Trinidad, we always sing that chorus. It's love, it's love, it's love that makes the world go round. It's love, it's love, it's love that makes the world go round. It's love, it's love, it's love that makes the world go round. It's love that makes the world go round. You know why we have so many dysfunctional families today? Because love is missing in the equation. It's why we have so many dissatisfied marriages, because love is missing in the equation. It's why we have so much destruction in society, because love is what is missing. We have a whole generation that's been raised without any love. And they have a very hard time accepting the love of God Almighty. Because they equate their experience to everything else in this world. And their experience is wrong. No one loves you more this morning than Jesus Christ does. No one cares more about you this morning than Jesus Christ does. No one wants you to succeed more this morning than our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Brother Chris, I got so many problems. The best thing you can do is run to Jesus Christ. Run with open arms. That's why He said, "Come unto me, all that labor are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You say, what do you do when you got a problem? You run to Jesus. When I was a child and I had a problem, I ran to Daddy and I ran to Mama. What do we say about kids? They go running home to Mama, right? The best thing you can do is go running home to Jesus. The sad thing is, I find when people have problems, instead of running to God, they run away from Him. And He's the only one that can solve our problems. I'm the preacher. People say, well, can the preacher fix? I can't fix my own problems. How in the world can I fix yours? Only God can solve your problem. And we have to look to Him. And we have to cling to Him. And allow the Lord, allow the love of God to have that place in our heart, in our life, in our mind, in our soul, so that God can do something in our lives.